It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather. And he who controls the weather will control the world.
Let's kick off today's bad news broadcast with this. Tennessee Senate passes bill based on, quote, chemtrails conspiracy theory, what to know. That headline is from the Tennessean.com. Mainstream matrix media is trying to sweep this one under the rug, not surprisingly. And for the record, the word chemtrails was never mentioned anywhere in the legislation. But of course, it is the buzzword in the headlines. Why? Because media manipulators want readers to Google search the non-science chemtrails term so that, by design, they find only official denial and official conspiracy theory blurbs. What the controllers don't want people to search are the climate engineering science terms, geoengineering, solar radiation management, stratospheric aerosol geoengineering, cloud albedo enhancement, etc. We're playing a grand game of chess for all that we hold dear. Life on Earth is literally in the balance. We must learn to play well. Using the science terms gains desperately needed traction in this all-important battle. Next, this title, Climate Engineering. Tennessee Senate is first to pass bill to ban geoengineering. To learn more, please view our geoengineeringwatch.org new post with that exact title from our homepage. And yes, the long-suppressed truth is being forced into consciousness, though it has long since been shockingly visible in our skies. Will those in control of the climate engineering operations pay any heed to any law prohibiting them? Short answer, no. But the bold actions of officials in Tennessee still matter, because awareness matters. Shattering the mind-numbing denial of the masses matters. The atrocities being carried out in our skies should be shockingly obvious to any that aren't clinically blind. But programming and official denial have so far superseded the senses of sight and reason for far too many, far too long. Please look up and wake up while it can still make a difference. Numerous extremely near-term existential threats are unfolding, and as should be expected, matrix media is blacking out all of it that matters most. Mass distraction is their primary objective, a constant stream of scripted political theater and selected polarizing social outrage dramas. Collapse, chaos, carnage, and conflict zones coming to a neighborhood near you. Those that are still clinging to their denial that such a scenario is never going to happen near them, not where they live. Good luck with that. Reality is coming home to roost far sooner than almost any dare to imagine. Haiti is only the most recent and most currently visible example, but dozens more countries are already on the same trajectory. More on that subject in a moment. And about the ever higher soaring stock market Ponzi scheme with its seemingly never-ending record highs. This is a glaring red flag of looming collapse for any that aren't asleep at the wheel. The controllers of the Matrix, feeding the delusion of perpetual expansion on a finite planet with failing life support systems, aka terminal normalcy bias. Looming global ecological collapse is the bottom line. It always has been, and it always will be. Climate intervention operations are further fueling the fires of planetary incineration. Biosphere collapse is accelerating power structure total desperation on countless fronts. Here's a late-breaking example, only one of many, instigating and orchestrating global conflict, their whole card. World on the brink, as Taiwan admits U.S. troops are now stationed on Chinese border. That breaking headline is from Express.com World News. From the report, American troops are to be permanently stationed in Taiwan, according to Taipei, a huge move that will likely send tensions with China soaring. Remember who's in other people's countries and on their borders, in their backyards, all over the world, 800 bases. That's called empire. Am I advocating for China and Russia? Of course not. But let's remember that all of them, all of these nations, including the U.S., China, and Russia, are absolutely colluding and cooperating on climate engineering. It can't be otherwise. And we have U.S. Senate documents as long as 800 pages calling for this specific cooperation between, quote, otherwise adversarial nations. It cannot be otherwise. You cannot climate engineer over your own country without affecting the entire world. And there's ample documentation to prove this collusion and cooperation. But on the subject of soaring tensions, what happens when the water runs out? And let's remember that climate engineering controls the spigot. They decide where it rains, when it rains, and how toxic that rain will be. But as far as the water running out and what happens, that answer isn't hard to figure out. From AP News, taps have run dry across South Africa's largest city in an unprecedented water crisis. Do we see this on U.S. Matrix Media News? While we're watching scripted political theater? No, we don't. From that report, thousands of South Africans lining up for water as the country's largest city, Johannesburg, confronts an unprecedented collapse of its water system, affecting millions of people. The report continues, residents rich and poor have never seen a shortage of this severity. Hot weather has shrunk reservoirs. Crumbling infrastructure after decades of neglect is also largely to blame. For the record, infrastructure all over the world is crumbling. The decay starts from the moment infrastructure is created and installed. Such is the nature of industrialized, militarized society. It was never sustainable, not even close. Only nature, at least formerly, could renew itself. And in other parts of the world, this new follow-up report from the UK Daily Mail, Mexico City is running out of water due to a drought crisis affecting 22 million people as day zero, when its supply won't be enough for residents, is just weeks away. The report says the shortage in water has forced residents to wake up early and line up to collect water that is provided by government trucks. How long does anyone think that's going to last? And if you think it's only somewhere else, think again. From AgriculturePulse.com, farmers at center of struggle over Colorado River water. If you thought the Colorado River crisis was over, think again. And remember this, the rain and snow that does fall in the Colorado River headlands is completely contaminated, not just industrialized pollution, climate engineering elements as well. Back to planetary meltdown and the mystery factor that no official sources or so-called experts are willing to admit to, a follow-up report from Nature.com. Climate models can't explain 2023's huge heat anomaly. We could be in uncharted territory. That's the headline. Really, we could, may, might be in uncharted territory. And it has only taken the so-called climate science community 15 years to admit to what geoengineeringwatch.org has stated on the record since 2009, that we are and have been free-falling into completely uncharted territory and abrupt climate collapse. The Nature.com report continues, for the past 9 months, land and sea surface temperatures have overshot previous records each month by a huge margin at the planetary scale. Went over this in last week's broadcast. This is a follow-up report. Again, every single month for the last 9 months was a all-time, since record-keeping began, record-setting month. Each month warmer than the last, and that trend is still continuing. More from the report, a general warming trend is expected because of rising greenhouse gas emissions, but, they say, this sudden heat spike greatly exceeds predictions made by statistical climate models that rely on past observations. They then say many reasons for this discrepancy have been proposed, but, as of yet, no combination of them has been able to reconcile our theories with what has happened. Let's stop there. So many times I've stated on this broadcast and other interviews I do that we face an exponential equation with dozens of now triggered feedback loops. Translation, you can't look backward at past data and project that forward. Exactly what the so-called experts are admitting to finally, fully a decade and a half after I began to sound the alarm on that exact point at geoengineeringwatch.org. So imagine that. Yet again, another example from the so-called science community of what we just can't figure out. We don't know what we're missing, they say. Here's my suggestion. Look up. Open your eyes. Summon your courage and tell the truth while it can still make a difference. And about making a difference, standing on solid, data-based conclusions is the only way forward in this fight. Even as the planet hurtles toward total meltdown, with climate engineering further fueling the overall fire, some continue to claim we're entering an ice age. Really? Then here's my question. What planet are these people on? Because it isn't this one. For the record, global surface temperatures for each of the last 555 months in a row have been above the 20th century average, which was already considerably above pre-industrial baselines. What's the math on that? Over 46 years of escalating temperatures, now accelerating off the charts. And the coming ice age mind-numbing false narrative persists? For the record, that's exactly the narrative the climate engineers want the public to Parrot as they whip up yet another chemical ice nucleation cloud seeding event for the U.S. Official surface temperatures are being routinely falsified to the downside, not the upside. We check them in many locations. Translation, even with all the high temperature records being broken, it's even worse than that. And again, don't be fooled by the late season engineered winter weather whiplash event that's currently being carried out over regions in North America, with frozen material falling as far south as Mexico in this case. That's what's scheduled. If you think this is just nature, think again. It's patented processes of chemical ice nucleation cloud seeding. Search the engineering winter section of the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org to learn so much more. So, was Al Gore right all along? No, it's even worse. And Gore should be categorized with the rest of the criminals that have done their best to officially deny and thus hide the toxic climate engineering, aka weather warfare assault. This is Dane Wigington. You're listening to the weekly installment of the commercial-free, non-political Global Alert News Report, the end of the world as we know it, literally, broadcast. Brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org, the largest and most visited website in the world on the subject of global climate engineering operations, aka weather warfare. Reaching a critical mass of awareness is the only way forward in this fight. We must reach a critical mass by starting a conversation on climate engineering that leads people to a credible source of data. Geoengineeringwatch.org will continue all of our efforts to be the go-to source on covert climate engineering operations. If we can fully expose weather warfare, so many other truths will be forced to the full light of day with it. Back to Meltdown and the, gee, we had no idea it was this bad, new official narrative. From PHYS.org, the heat index, how hot it feels, is rising faster than temperature. New study. Report says, this new study concludes that the heat index, essentially how hot it really feels, has increased much faster in Texas, they say, than has the measured temperature. About three times faster. Let's stop there. No, not just in Texas. All over the world. This is a common form of deception for matrix media to create the false impression that imploding planetary life support systems are somehow isolated to specific regions of the world. That's false. Newsflash. All of us, each of us, wherever we may reside, are all passengers on the one single lifeboat, planet Earth. When that boat goes down, we all go with it. And even now, industrialized, militarized, so-called society has the throttle on full speed ahead. More stuff, more bombs, more looting, plundering, pillaging, and polluting until the brutal, bitter end. Final excerpt from the heat index study. They say, even the heat index itself, which takes into account the relative humidity and thus the capacity to cool off by sweating, gives a conservative estimate of heat stress. Translation again. It's even worse than we're telling you. And how many times on this broadcast have I tried to address what's called the wet bulb effect? That's what the heat index is based on. And it is far worse than even this article discloses. There's been heat indexes in parts of the Middle East in 160 degree range. We just had in Brazil 145 in Rio de Janeiro. These are extraordinarily high temperatures, feels like temperatures, and they are escalating rapidly. How many continue to think that there can magically continue to be a booming, expanding economy on a completely exploited and climate-engineered wasteland of a planet? Good luck with that. On that note, from Earth.com, climate crisis, global supply chains face $25 trillion in losses. From the report, a new study led by King's College London reveals the profound implications climate change, aka climate collapse and weather warfare, is poised to have on global supply chains, potentially stagnating economies worldwide over the next 40 years, they say. Let's stop there. Over the next 40 years? Seriously? We're there now. And yet, the shockingly obvious denial of the vast majority continues, unabated. More from the Earth.com report. This research highlights the vulnerability of manufacturing-dependent giants like China and the U.S., which stand to bear the brunt of supply chain disruptions triggered by climatic phenomenon, regardless of their geographical remoteness from the events themselves. The study estimates a projected net economic loss ranging between $3.75 trillion to $24.7 trillion by 2060, influenced by varying levels of carbon dioxide emissions. Translation again. When the ship goes down, there's no place to hide. And for those that are not yet clear, it doesn't take decades for a ship with countless holes in it to sink. Planet Earth is that ship, our ship, and it's sinking by the day, while nonstop bread and circus and scripted political theater continues to distract the majority of the masses. And above it all, climate engineering rages on. On that theme, yet another new report of Let's All Keep Pretending Climate Engineering is Just a Proposal from USA Today. Scientists ponder fighting climate change by making clouds brighter and thicker. From the report, what's new, they say, is a study published Wednesday of this week in the journal Science Advances that lays out how viable this technique is, and also proposes a program of research that includes laboratory studies, field experiments, and cloud modeling. Yes, the criminal pretending in so many ways, the so-called experts telling us, quote, how viable this technique is. Really, solar radiation management, aka jets spraying atmospheric aerosols, filling Earth's skies with toxic heavy metal and polymer nanoparticles that destroy the ozone layer, totally disrupt the hydrological cycle, and completely contaminate Earth's surface, everything, every breath we take. And that, quote, is a viable technique? Consider that the answer depends on the actual objective, doesn't it? Ponder that one. What is their objective? You decide. As covered in the start of this broadcast, Tennessee bill to ban climate engineering passes Senate. Again, though legislation alone will not stop what's occurring in our skies, it is of great help in regard to raising awareness, in regard to reaching a critical mass of awareness, which is the bottom line and always will be. This fight can't be won without a global army of the awakened, not just knowing, but also understanding at one's core that what we face is an immediate fight for life, aka the pitchforks and torches awakening. If we can fully expose the weather warfare operations, we would cause a shockwave around the world. We would alter the equation. We would make a quantum leap in the right direction. We would have a very real possibility of stopping these programs from the inside out as those participating and their families are forced to face the fact that they are contributing to their own demise. Again, reaching a critical mass of awareness would be the proverbial pitchforks and torches moment. One can only imagine that a justifiably outraged population would take to the streets to find and hold legally and morally accountable anyone and everyone that has participated in the omnicidal crime of climate engineering, along with all those that contributed to the criminal cover-up of these same crimes. Unfortunately, there are some who claim to be fighting against climate engineering, but who also claim we're only seeing jet exhaust in our skies. Horizon-to-horizon trails, X patterns, ovals, grid patterns, dispersing jets with transponders turned off so they can't be tracked, dispersions that are often shut off so abruptly that the dispersion trail looks like it's been cut with a knife. Do such jets then fall from the sky because their engine just died or was turned off? Obviously not. No, they fly on, and often the dispersion is again activated. Is there some magical phenomenon that causes heavy jet aircraft to fly non-commercial routes over storm moisture, often with their transponders again turned off? Does this jet exhaust then magically produce patented chemical ice nucleation materials over and in the clouds that then facilitates countless engineered winter weather events, just like those that the Chinese scientists have long since admitted to, which were covered by many mainstream media sources? Here's an example from BusinessInsider.com. China is massively expanding its weather modification program, saying it will be able to cover half the country in artificial rain and snow by 2025. GeoengineeringWatch.org has numerous film footage captures of dispersing jets at altitude, nozzles visible, turning on and off. We have up-close photos of retrofit nozzles mounted on wing pylons and aimed into the exhaust jet stream, which helps the weathermakers to fortify the false narrative of what we see as being just, quote, contrails, or as others keep claiming, just dirty jet exhaust. Both narratives are patently false. But again, unfortunately, such narratives are also being pushed and propagated by some that pretend they're fighting against climate engineering. Question, does denying climate engineering help to expose and halt climate engineering? Obviously not. Geoengineering Watch has, over many years, conducted extensive testing, both atmospheric and surface. Toxic climate engineering elements, which are specifically named in climate engineering patents, are cascading down through our air column. This contamination is wreaking havoc with human health and what is yet left of our environment. Please look up, and please also investigate the data, film footage, photos, and documents from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. But the smoke and mirrors deception continues. From MIT Technology Review, this new headline: Harvard has halted its long-planned atmospheric geoengineering experiment. There you have it. Nothing to see here. Pay no attention to the sky full of geoengineering jet aircraft, so-called solar radiation management operations, filling our skies with toxic filth. Go back to sleep. It's just jet exhaust. From high bypass turbofan jet engines, which is all commercial carriers and all military tankers, jet powered fans, through which 90% of the air isn't even exhaust. It's just air. These engines are nearly incapable of making any condensation trail except under rare and extreme circumstances. So what are we seeing? And why else would there be nozzles, retrofit nozzles mounted on wing pylons aimed to exhaust jet streams that are clearly being turned on and off, with climate engineering elements raining down through our air column? From Scientific American, high-profile geoengineering experiment shuts down. The report says a beleaguered solar geoengineering project failed to conduct field tests because of opposition from environmentalists and indigenous residents. This headline from so-called Scientific American, just another example of carefully crafted mass deception from the so-called climate science community. And the distractions have worked all too well so far. But that paradigm is finally beginning to collapse on itself, as many are, in fact, beginning to wake up and realize what's being done in the skies above their heads. Again, as mentioned moments ago from BusinessInsider.com, this headline: China is massively expanding its weather modification program, saying it will be able to cover half the country in artificial rain and snow by 2025. That's the same date, coincidentally, than the U.S. military document owning the weather by 2025. Just a coincidence, I'm sure. From that report, China's government has announced that it is expanding its weather control project, which creates artificial rain and snow by fivefold. That's a 500% increase. So China can and is engineering winter weather events over their country. And are we to believe that the far larger and more advanced U.S. military isn't doing exactly the same thing over the U.S. on an even larger scale? Really? Again, the bottom line. Question. Investigate for yourself. Utilize your God-given senses of eyesight and reason. Back to chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. Baseball-sized hail that contain climate engineering elements, including polymer fibers. But don't worry, it's just jet exhaust doing that. Recent reports from AOL.com. Severe storms bring baseball-sized hail to the Midwest and heavy snow to the Rockies. From the UK Daily Mirror, baseball-sized hailstones punch holes in cars and devastate streets and buildings. From Newsweek.com, gorilla hail breaks 74-year record in one state. I could go on, but you get the idea. Patented processes of chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. That's what we're dealing with here. In regard to polymer fiber contamination, aka microplastics, that's showing up in everything all over the world. Us, the rain, crops, food, everything. New from the SmithsonianMagazine.com, plastics contain thousands more chemicals than thought, and most are unregulated, report finds. The article says the report released last week expands the number of known chemicals in plastics from 13,000 to 16,000. Does it make much difference at that point? Despite about 6% of these being subject to global regulations, more than a quarter are thought to be toxic, the researchers found. I think if we got down to it, they're all toxic, aren't they? They continue, the authors identified more than 4,200 chemicals of concern, which can potentially persist in the air, water, soil, or organisms for a very long time, they say. Just went over that, didn't I? Spread in freshwater and drinking water, accumulate in wildlife and humans, or cause harm to living creatures. More than 1,300 of these chemicals of concern are known to be marketed for use in plastics. Here's a question. If climate engineering patents call for polymer fibers as part of the mix, and they do, and if geoengineering jet aircraft were conducting operations all over the world, and every bit of data indicates they are, should we expect to see headlines like this from Euronews.com? rainwater everywhere on Earth unsafe to drink due to PFAS forever chemicals. That's interesting, or should I say alarming. Could there be disaster capitalists profiting off catastrophe, not just climate engineering elements, but industrialized, militarized, so-called society as a whole and the refuse it creates? Short answer, yes. From onegreenplanet.org. Report reveals plastic factories pocket billions in subsidies despite pollution concerns. The report states, in a striking revelation, state and local governments across the United States are funneling billions in tax subsidies to plastics processing facilities despite their notorious track record for air pollution violations. These findings come from a comprehensive report by the Environmental Integrity Project. Try not to breathe. Next, from insideclimatenews.org, petrochemicals are killing us, a new report warns in the New England Journal of Medicine. From that report, it's well known that carbon fuels are the primary driver of climate change, along with climate engineering. The report then says a dirty secret that they're also the source of toxic chemicals linked to rising rates in chronic and deadly diseases. Question, what other, quote, dirty secret in plain sight, pun intended, is contaminating every breath we take? Look up and investigate while it can still make a difference. You're listening to the weekly installment of Global Alert News, the Bad News Broadcast, installment number 450. 450 weeks in a row, I've never missed a broadcast. And so long as I'm standing and breathing, I never will. This is Dane Wigington, your host. Global Alert News is brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org, the largest and most visited website in the world on the subject of climate intervention operations known as geoengineering. The commercial-free, non-political Global Alert News broadcast is currently being aired on numerous AM and FM stations throughout the country. Recordings of this broadcast can be found on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent column and on the Dane Wigington YouTube channel. Geoengineering Watch wishes to express our deepest gratitude to those that have helped us to expand our reach and thus our voice in this desperate last hour effort to sound the alarm. On that subject, if you're on our email list, please put us on your email contact book so that our mailouts don't go to the spam files. Please help us to share the groundbreaking documentary, The Dimming, which fully exposes the climate engineering atrocities. And now, thanks to so many waking up around the world, The Dimming is already over the 9 million mark and climbing fast. The best way to share is by circulating the direct link to The Dimming by email directly from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Sharing directly helps us to overcome social media censorship. When viewing our YouTube of The Dimming or Global Alert News or any other Geoengineering Watch video on YouTube, please subscribe, share, and comment, all of which helps us to circulate critically important data to a much wider audience. How do we reach those that still aren't looking up? Here's one way: by starting the conversation with Geoengineering Watch awareness-raising materials, which can be found on our homepage. Our only goal is to provide activists what they need to move this fight forward. We have extremely high-quality printed materials with shocking images. A picture is worth a thousand words, as the proverb goes, and we pass this material on for less than our total overall cost of producing and shipping. Our only goal, to get them into circulation. We have Geoengineering Watch hoodies, Geoengineering Watch shirts, and photos of both are on our homepage. We have scannable business cards and bumper stickers, all effective tools to help strike up a conversation on the climate engineering issue. Again, reaching a critical mass of awareness on the climate engineering onslaught is the great imperative of our time. If we can expose it, we can stop it from the inside out. If you're willing to share a picture of yourself with a Geoengineering Watch t-shirt or hoodie, perhaps at a local mall or the gym or somewhere busy, please send your photo to us so that we can post it as part of our activist compilation, which is now part of our materials page. The images encourage others to make their voices heard in this all-important battle to sound the alarm. And lastly, and most importantly, this: to all those who are steadfastly committed to this must-win fight for all that matters, my deepest and most sincere gratitude to you. Our collective efforts can absolutely still make a difference, even at this late hour. Moving on, about those that are subsidized to plunder what's left of the planet. From banktrack.org, this headline, "Still Butchering the Planet." And from the report, "The Big Name Financiers, Bankrolling Livestock Corporations, and Climate Change." This is a 2024 update. They state, a new report released today by environmental organization Feedback finds that since the Paris Agreement was signed over $500 billion in credit has been provided globally to the world's largest 55 industrial livestock companies. They say that this is equivalent to $76.9 billion per year between 2015 and 2022, provided by the world's private financial institutions. And yes, I understand no one wants to hear this. Instant rejection of any information that in any way casts a shadow over the planetary loot, plunder, pillage, and pollute party. But unfortunately, denial won't save us from the seeds we are collectively sowing as a species. Paying corporate industrial livestock companies to cut down rainforests in order to raise cows is a problem. Industrial farmed everything is a problem, not to mention being horrifically cruel to living creatures. But not to worry. The manipulators of the Matrix now say we can all eat garbage-fed snakes, pythons. Think I'm joking? I'm not. From Weather Channel and NewsNation.com. Study finds pythons may provide sustainable meat for food insecurity. Wow, what a relief. I was worried for a moment there. The NewsNation report then states, pythons may offer a flexible and efficient response to food insecurity. The snakes may be some of the most resource-efficient animals to farm. Researchers observed rapid growth in pythons on diets of food waste proteins. Is that like the now horrifically contaminated farm fields due to fertilizing them with sewage sludge? Just keeps getting worse and worse, doesn't it? And what about the animals? They need to eat also, don't they? No, that's no longer allowed. From KOIN.com, this headline, approved killing of sea lions in the Columbia River likely to begin next week. Report says sea lions are moving upriver to feast on spawning smelt and migrating salmon, wildlife officials said. The sea lion removals, or cullings, are carried out by state and tribal officials each year. The report stated that the sea lions are, quote, costing the region millions in direct investments and also in opportunity costs associated with lost fisheries, restricted power generation, and constraints on land and water use. Can't have any pesky, miraculous mammals affecting the bottom line, can we? Humor aside, I can't begin to express my angst at the actions of the so-called human race, the naked slaughter of any life form, including our own, that gets in the way of the predator-parasite class or of their profits. For so many years, I spent countless hours alone with sea lions in remote locations along the shores of the Channel Islands off the coast of California. They are absolutely miraculous creatures, intelligent, curious, playful. They were my friends. And now, because they're desperate for anything to eat in our dying world, they too will join the long and growing list of systematic slaughter. And this footnote, the U.S. military is allowed to kill countless in the millions marine animals along the North American West Coast, all in the name of war games and bombing practice. Welcome to the asylum that's on the fast track to planetary omnicide. Back to the food menu, which is shrinking fast. From CBS News, drought takes devastating toll on Louisiana's crawfish industry. One of the driest seasons on record last year means the harvest field didn't get enough rain. Weeks of triple-digit heat sent the crustaceans burrowing deeper into the mud, many unable to emerge. No more crayfish on the menu. But there's always lobster, right? Not so much, at least not for long. From WBUR.org, new data shows nearly 40% drop in Maine's young lobster population in recent years. From CTV News Atlantic, lobster fisheries report serious decline in catches. Well, there's always crabs to eat, right? Again, not for much longer. From Popular Mechanics, this previous headline, 10 billion crabs suddenly vanished from the Bering Sea, and now they say we know why. And you'll never guess why. They died. What a surprise. Due to superheating seas, which completely alters ocean chemistry, including oxygen content. And this is just one sample of what's unfolding all over the world. Global pelagic fish populations, the food fish, down 90%. Global bluefin tuna, down 98%. On a previous broadcast, I covered that nearly a billion salmon have now died in salmon farms around the world. Northern and southern hemispheres. Not that anyone should eat farmed salmon in the first place, because it's one of the most toxic foods in the world, literally. Are those filleted farmed pythons sounding any better yet? Give it time. It grows on you. Maybe. Back to meltdown. Further fueled overall by climate engineering operations. From the Times of India, heat wave record index of 62.3°C scorches Rio de Janeiro. Mentioned that earlier. It's about 144 degrees, I believe. That's the feels-like temperature. From the UK Guardian, South Sudan closes schools in preparation for 45°C heat wave, and that's the ambient temperature. So the feels-like temperature much higher still. 45°C is about, I believe, 113, 114 degrees Fahrenheit. And if you add humidity, if you added, say, a 40% humidity to that, because there's always some humidity, and it's getting higher in many regions all over the globe, that would be a heat index of about 145, same as was just recorded in Rio de Janeiro. This report says authorities advise parents to keep children indoors during extreme heat wave. This is, again, in South Sudan. Expected to last 2 weeks, civil conflict has plagued the East African country, which also suffers drought and floods. Again, climate engineering controls the spigot. And Africa has been subjected to these covert experiments for so very long. Why do you think so many countries are finally forced to allow U.S. occupation? That's why you have AFRICOM, U.S. military in Africa, 800 bases around the world. They don't let us in because they love us so much. The World Food Program, in its latest country brief, said South Sudan continues to face a dire humanitarian crisis due to violence, economic instability, and climate change. And by the way, when I criticize empire, the U.S. empire, I'm not condoning any other country. Too many people have been so trained and programmed to think dichotomously. If you're not for the blue team, you must be for the red team, or vice versa. It's not like George Bush, as I quoted in a recent broadcast, and his moronic statement on the deck of a Navy ship after 9/11, stating you're either with us or you're with the terrorists, and really, is there a difference? From the UK Guardian, 46°C summer days and supercell storms are Britain's future, and now it's our last chance to prepare. 46°C, what's that up to, something in the range of 115, 16? Pretty hot for the UK, isn't it? And they're already telling you it's coming. From Radio Free Asia, more than 3,000 Tibetans evacuated as wildfire rages in a province there. Consider that they just went through a flash freeze, a chemical flash freeze that was estimated to kill from 2 to 3 million animals, livestock included, and now it's burning to the ground. Just like what we saw in Texas, same scenario. Let's stand back and take a wider view of the overall horizon. Ocean temperatures are the bottom line factor regarding the temperature of the planet. The climate engineers can and are orchestrating temporary and toxic surface terrestrial cooldowns with chemical ice nucleation, cloud seeding, but every operation they carry out comes at the cost of an even worse overall warming and even more damage done to the planetary life support systems. Global sea surface temperatures continue their nonstop escalation into ever hotter record high territory. For over a year, there's no end in sight. And why would there be? How could there be? For over a year, every single day, sea surface temperatures were hotter than the day before, and it's still continuing. If that doesn't alarm you, it certainly should. From the NewYorker.com, why is the sea so hot? Report says, a startling rise in sea surface temperatures suggests that we may not understand how fast the climate is changing. Can the past year, they say, be explained by what's already known about the climate? Or are there forces at work, they say, that haven't been accounted for? And if it's the latter, does this mean that projections of warming already decidedly grim are underestimating the dangers? The NewYorker.com report then cites this direct quote from Gavin Schmidt, the director of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies. Schmidt said, "We don't really know what's going on." Gavin, we agree on that. You definitely don't know what's going on, or at least you're not willing to tell the truth about it. And there's this statement from Brian McNulty. He's a hurricane researcher at the University of Miami. He said, first, it's not like we're breaking records by a little bit now and then. It's like the whole climate just fast-forwarded by 50 or 100 years. Translation. What they said was a worst-case scenario 100 years from now is already happening. Think about that. We knew at geoengineeringwatch.org, we knew it was exponentially worse than anything we're being told. Now they're starting to admit to it because they can't hide it. How could we know and they didn't know? Two potential reasons. They're criminally ignorant of the very field of study in which we're told they're experts, or they're lying. Again, take your pick. From NBC News, 12 months of record ocean heat has scientists puzzled and concerned. From the NBC article, the huge temperature anomaly which climate change alone is unlikely to explain. What is this missing issue that none of them seem to be able to identify? What could it possibly be? They say, as I just stated, every day for the last 12 months, the world's sea surface temperatures have broken records. Every single day warmer than the last. Human-caused climate change is likely playing a role, they say, but is probably not the only factor. Climate models predict a steady rise in sea surface temperatures, but not this quickly. So what is missing from this equation? I wonder what it could possibly be. Look up, and you'll have your answer. Please stay with me. There's more from Forbes.com. Current climate, big risks as oceans overheat. While people may think more often about air temperatures, oceans, which cover 70% of the planet, are a vital climate regulator because they soak up heat trapped in the atmosphere by carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases. Even a seemingly small increase in ocean temperatures can be enough to transform marine biodiversity and change ocean chemistry. I just mentioned that earlier. It's not just transform. We are hurtling toward what's known as Canfield Ocean, lifeless, superheated, stratified, oxygenless dead zones. That's our destination, and it's far closer than almost anybody dares to imagine. And keep in mind that thermal expansion is yet another factor contributing to sea level rise. On that note, from the UK Guardian, Massachusetts town grapples with sea level rise after sand barrier fails. A $500,000 sand dune collapsed in days after being erected, and residents are looking for help to protect their homes. Water went from the ocean into people's living rooms and kitchens. And let's stop there. That's just a snapshot example of increasingly futile efforts to hold back rising seas. $500,000 sand dune, of course, that didn't work. Just the beginning. From counterpunch.org, Greenland cascading 30 million tons of ice melt per hour. That's a lot, isn't it? Greenland's rate of melt in summer was something that we knew about, the report says, and it was gradually increasing. Then suddenly, they say, it's multiplied itself by about 8 times, 800% more. They just didn't know what happened. They still can't figure it out. Let's keep going to make a little more complete picture here. Heating seas, as I mentioned a moment ago, also radically drops oxygen levels. From phys.org, this new headline, hypoxia, that's low oxygen levels, is widespread and increasing in the ocean off the Pacific Northwest coast. Study shows low oxygen conditions that pose a significant threat to marine life are widespread and increasing in coastal Pacific Northwest ocean waters as the climate warms, a new study shows. Marine life is collapsing everywhere, all over the globe. And that collapse is accelerating wildly. It's happening terrestrially also. When the oceans die, we die. When the forests die, we die. When the insects die, we die. When the ozone layer collapses, we die. Again, I could go on and on, but you get the point. All of this is converging at once. More die-off breaking headlines, the kind that Matrix Media never mentions while they are pushing scripted mass distraction and division bread and circus. From the Anchorage Daily News, caribou declines causing angst for Alaska hunters are part of a wider North American trend, reports as Alaska subsistence hunters struggling with caribou decline and lost hunting opportunities got a message at a gathering in Anchorage last week. They are not alone. Across the circumpolar north, caribou herds in North America and reindeer herds in Eurasia are declining. That's a gross understatement. And in some cases, dramatically. In eastern Canada, herds that used to be huge have crashed spectacularly. The George River herd, which numbered over 800,000 as was North America's largest herd in the 1990s, has declined by 99%, down to 7,200 animals from 800,000, and is showing no signs of recovery, even though hunting was halted in 2013, 11 years ago. The Bathurst herd of the Northwest Territories and Nuvatu has declined at a similarly spectacular rate, from 450,000 animals in 86 to an estimated 6,240 by 2021. Though predators like wolves and bears have been blamed for some herds' problems, Alaska fish and game biologist Jim Dow said he was skeptical about that as an explanation, and so he should be. It continues, he believes, based on his observations, that the icing events that are becoming more frequent as the climate warms were tipping points for the Western Arctic herd, and he used photographs of dead caribou found in iced over sites to illustrate his point. Ice created by winter rains is known to lock away the food that the animals eat. In years with a lot of icing events, the caribou were often skinny by the end of winter or dead. Yes, icing events increasingly wreaking havoc all over the world. Temporary toxic surface cooldowns with catastrophic consequences. 3 million animals in Tibet this year. In previous years, 200,000 alpacas in South America, 100,000 cattle in South Dakota. These are only a few examples, again, from past years. This is just the tip of the proverbial iceberg. None of this is just nature. It's certainly not natural. It's chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. With satellite imagery, we can even see this process on ocean surfaces in the Arctic. It's part of how they've masked the total polar meltdown, chemical ice nucleation. In 2014, when Boston had all the record snows, we had ice all over Boston Harbor with sea temperatures of 40 degrees. How can there be ice on 40 degree sea surfaces when ocean water doesn't freeze until 28.4 degrees? What's wrong with this equation? Again, these are patented processes. If you don't know about chemical ice nucleation, it is a profound science, absolutely profound, shockingly so, and it is a core part of climate engineering that only geoengineeringwatch.org is desperately trying to expose. And others pretend this is just nature and a sign of a, quote, coming ice age. That is covering the tracks of the climate engineers exactly what they want. Please research, investigate, use your sense of reason, and don't help to cover the tracks of the climate engineers when they're engineering winter weather all over the globe. On that note, this week, this headline from the dailyexpress.us, tens of millions brace for bone-chilling temperatures across U.S. in huge weather warning. They say millions of Americans are bracing for a sudden turn to below freezing temperatures across much of the country, with some regions witnessing a dramatic swing. Winter weather whiplash again. Expect this engineered cooldown to be super sensationalized in matrix media. Manipulated moisture flows from the Pacific will eventually merge, with moisture being steered north from the record warm Gulf of Mexico. The land-based network of climate engineering frequency transmitters are utilized to manipulate and scatter the moisture flows over the widest possible region. Welcome to solar radiation management operations and engineered winter. Many climate engineering elements are electrically conductive. When the weather systems are saturated with these elements, the frequency transmissions create a repelling effect. This scatters the atmospheric moisture, as mentioned. Chemical ice nucleation cloud seeding operations then initiate various forms of frozen material, depending on the conditions, to fall from the skies, along with dropping temperatures due to the cooler air masses that are created with these endothermic reacting elements. Cool air is dense. It falls to the surface. Thundersnow, massive hail, sleet, so-called grapple, cotton ball-sized so-called snowflakes, all are part of the equation. In fact, snow is scheduled to fall as far south as Mexico. While we've had balmy temperatures in much of Canada for the entire winter season, last Monday, the AccuWeather.com extended schedule weather for today in Oak Run, California, which is my neck of the woods, for Saturday, the 23rd of March, was for snow showers with scheduled daytime temperatures of 51 degrees and nighttime temperatures lows of 41 degrees. Question: why would so-called weather experts even entertain the idea days in advance, almost a week in advance, that frozen material would fall from the sky on a specific day at temperatures so far above freezing? Unless, of course, they're reading a script of the scheduled weather, which is exactly what's occurring. For those that don't know, Raytheon does all the weather modeling for the National Weather Service, and Lockheed Martin does it for NOAA. Private defense contractors neck deep in geoengineering patents are engineering the scheduled weather and writing the script. That's how it works. But the scheduled weather script has yet again been altered. No surprise, frozen material is no longer scheduled for my location. It seems they just couldn't pull it off. Please search and review the engineering winter section on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org to learn more. And what will we face after the engineered winter weather scenarios? Flash drought and firestorms will likely be on the near-term horizon. The fun never stops in the climate-engineered planetary asylum. Question: will the human race survive itself? Answer: if we remain on the current course, definitely not. And for the record, that isn't an opinion. It's an extremely near-term statistical fact. How many have taken notice that in most post-apocalyptic movies, there's still some level of a functional environment? Trees, animals, the basics for life and survival. But again, as already stated, if we remain on the current course, far sooner than almost any dare to imagine, our once thriving planet will be a lifeless ball of rock spinning in the vast expanse of space, a true sister planet to Venus. Don't believe it? Doesn't matter. That is the trajectory we are on scientifically. Can we alter our trajectory? How can we ever know? Unless we try with every fiber of our being. And if we don't, how can we face ourselves in the mirror or look our children in the eyes? True and unshakable peace and solace can't be dependent on anything external. Never forget that. We, each of us, all of us, must decide why we are here at this greatest of all crossroads in the journey and fate of the human race, indeed of all life on Earth, what's left of it. What greater calling could we be given than to commit every fiber of our being to standing against the gathering tide of total insanity, dedicating every fiber of our being to saving and salvaging what's yet left of the planet's life support systems, to know at your core that you face the gathering storm head on, without yielding? What life could be better lived than such a life? No matter how dark the horizon, we can yet make a difference, but the effort will take all of us. Every single day counts. Check the activist suggestions link on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for specific instructions on how you can help to move this fight forward. Please make your voice heard while it can still make a difference. We are not alone in this battle. Never give up, ever. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington from geoengineeringwatch.org.